Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing. I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Carr, Brooklyn to the world, and we're back. I'm back in the studio.
Wow.
Times are good. What number episode are we up to? Are we still losing track of these, or are we actually counting now?
What is it?
67.
67. With the Borat voice, Peter Carr sends in.
Isn't rings, nice.
Brings in the 67th episode. Seth Nyman, I guess, was saying another number. You were off.
68, yeah.
I thought you were like our backup statistician.
I can't by twos.
Yeah.
I need the internet. I can't
you
do it without
the You need the odd numbers. All right, yeah. Well, you'll be in charge of the odd numbers. I mean, the even numbers, and Peter will be charged with the odd numbers.
I like that.
Boom. All right, so, you know, I've been out of the action, out of the loop over here. You know, I called it in last week. Got some boxing over the weekend, some MMA, right? Oh, we had some good stuff. We got to talk about some Olympic boxing, the controversies and whatnot. You know, a lot going on these days in boxing. A summer of fun or not fun.
You had fun. You won.
I won. I did win. I feel like it was such a long time ago. I feel like so much has happened since my fight. You know,
Atestada.
Yeah.
Sex change.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, who had the sex change?
No. Just trying to make this podcast more controversial.
Did I miss anything?
You might be missing something. I mean, if you fall asleep in the wrong place.
So yeah, honestly, yeah, there's only been, what's today's date? The 22nd, 23rd?
24th.
Jeez, it's been like 3.5 weeks. I feel like I fought last year already. Holy shit. And I'm not even that much overweight. I mean, it's not like I'm...
Hey, you look good.
I weighed 169 this morning. So it's not like the end of the world, you know? Considering I weighed 165... I weighed 169.
Yeah,
no.
For real?
Let's fucking step on the scale, because the scale says 169. I didn't make it up. If I was going to make it up, I'd say just 170, 75. I don't know. Like a more roundabout number than 169.
Roundabout.
Yeah. So 169 this morning on the scale, the same scale that said I was 165 when I left for Barclays.
Is that before you went to Benigno Rosso?
No, I didn't go because I had to be in the city a little earlier today.
Oh, busy.
Yeah. So I...
You're a busy bee.
Anything you could tell us about?
Just now I went to Applebee's.
There you go.
Yeah.
To watch
some of the Champions League. Yeah, to watch some of the Champions League games because you guys don't fucking put them on TV. What about the Ajax is getting eliminated? I remember when Ajax used to win these things. Now they get eliminated in the prelims. Anyway, we'll talk about that on the Rant podcast because we're going to do two episodes today, right? We're going to do a 0.5 and a 0.0 podcast.
Spoiler alert.
Yep. Whatever. Yeah. Well, what do you mean? Spoiler? What do we surprise people? What is it? What is it? A surprise?
Sometimes. Kind of.
The fuck at it. Yeah. We don't do that. Get the hell out of here. We don't surprise anybody.
You anymore. Young whippersnappers.
Shut the front door.
Oh, you crazy. Yeah. Peter Griffin over there.
Anyway, so let's talk about. I guess we're gonna go start the weekend first. I mean, am I missing anything? Anything we missed besides from this weekend that we want to talk about? I mean, first, let's talk about the Olympics. How about that? Start with the Olympics.
We touched on the Olympics last week, but we did.
Well, they actually continued. They didn't end when we touched on them.
Right.
So, like, there's actually more news in the Olympics.
Right.
Like,
true. Shakur Stevenson lost
in the finals. Then he fought a Cuban though, right? Or an Uzbeki? What did he fight? Well, one of those guys. I think Uzbekistan won the team trophy, which is pretty wild. They won more medals than the Cubans. But regardless, Shakur is a kid from Newark, right? He's from Newark, New Jersey.
Jersey.
We got a little East Coaster with
19
getting
years
some
old.
Love. And he's got a bright future ahead of him, man. You know, I would have liked to see the Shakur Stevenson and Michael Conlon fight in the finals, which is...
That would have been a good fight.
If the judges would have went to LensCrafters and put on their contacts before anything, maybe we would have seen that, you know. And
he lost to Cuban, yes, Robesley.
Yeah,
Robesley.
Although Conlon would have been up against Robesley's first, right? Because they would have. He was in the opposite bracket. Whatever. Cubans are always tough to beat.
It's 2-1. Yeah,
I love watching
2-1.
Them. They're so much fun to watch.
Yeah, very skilled.
Mm-hmm.
So Shakur Stevenson gets a silver medal. What? Clarissa Shields gets another gold medal. Mm. First American boxer to get back-to-back gold medals. Female Clarissa Shields. Boom. Hit that one.
You know, they had female wrestling too. I didn't know they had female wrestling also.
They do. I wasn't aware of that either. But
where do these girls wrestle? Like where do they wrestle?
They wrestle in high school and then they go to college.
I went to high school. There's no girls wrestling.
It wasn't either for me too. But I've heard that the women do wrestle. I've actually met one or two of them.
I ain't mad at them.
So Hold on. So the chick Clarissa beat in the finals. I think she beat her also at the finals of another tournament too. So that chick must be really. You know when you're like losing to the same person in the finals. I had that a couple times in the amateurs.
Tough draw.
Yeah, it's a tough. No, it's not a tough draw because at least you met him in the finals.
It's a tough generation for you.
Yeah, just a tough racket is what it is.
Sure.
Well, Clarissa fought well and won.
She beat the girl from Kazakhstan, from Borat's home country.
No, she didn't. She in the final, she beat the girl from Holland.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was the semis.
Come on, dude. Come on, Seth. Your stats shit is going off the chain today.
The Netherlands. Netherlands.
Not to be messed with.
You fake fact checker.
Semi-final, she beat the girl from Kazakhstan. Right. Yes, Dariga. Shakarabara.
She beat the Dutch chick in the finals.
Yep. No chuka.
Chin. All right. So that's it. What did you guys think overall of the Olympics with no headgear and going back to the old school scoring? What did you think of that? I mean, I thought it would be less bad decisions. And honestly, for as many like raw deals as we saw in these Olympics, I mean, because some of them were just legitimate raw deals and just, you know, people got screwed. I feel like we got less bad decisions than we did at the computer. I feel like the computer, like every. I mean, it wasn't like as. Here's the thing. Okay, here's I'm gonna try to word this differently.
Please.
It was like. In the computer era, there was like a bunch of really bad decisions. Not like terrible, like, oh man, what the hell is going on over here? But like, you know, they eliminated the Roy Jones versus Park Olympic style decision. But they, in return, they wound up with maybe the next category less of a robbery, but a ton of those. A ton of those. Like, the horrible decisions.
How many?
A ton of those.
A ton.
In the years
you
since.
Heard them.
It's like 2,000.
So in they brought back the regular scoring and no headgears, and now came some of the terrible decisions. Some terrible, like, worse than those kind of bad decisions, but not as many. So it's like, pick your poison, bro. You just can't get it, because I feel like when it's this kind of scoring, there's judges being paid off, legitimately.
Right. What else could it be?
With the computer, but that doesn't mean with the computer they weren't paid off either.
Right,
because you don't want to press the button, But here's the thing, with the computer, you only need 3 out of 5 guys to press the button at the same time for a point to be scored. So even if you are like in the bag and you don't want to press the button, as long as 3 of the other 4 guys press the button, the other guy's still getting points. The problem is they were all blind.
Some of them were in the bag too.
Yeah, the problem is they're all blind, because you can't really adequately judge exchanges when you're just pressing buttons. You know, because
how many times have you seen those fights?
Punches are flying from both sides.
How many times?
It's the same problem I have with CompuBox and the pros. Okay.
How many times have you seen Olympic style fights? It's like 26-4 going into the last round. It's like, wait, come on. Really? Yeah. That guy landed 26 times that you could press, you all pressed it like in unison, bro, and this guy only landed four times.
I got one better for you, bro. I've seen blowouts that wound up as like 1-point decisions.
Right.
And I've seen close fights that wound up as 20-point decisions in computers. The computers were just brutal, bro. Brutal. Like, you felt like it was a different sport, bro. It started to actually look like a different sport. Having said that, there was some really bad decisions. The Conlon decision was really bad. There was the gold medal match at heavyweight was really bad. Was it with Tushikov or something like that? I don't know. Really, really bad decision. The Russian got the beneficiary of it. The same Russian actually beat Clemente Russo in the quarters, and that could have probably went to Clemente Russo as well, who was the Italian.
So he basically just robbed his whole way through.
Yeah, which makes you think, like, dude, maybe the Russians just paid off everybody, because the Russians were the ones doing most of the robbing. It was just weird, you know? But I don't know.
You've seen the finals when he fought the Vasily from Kazakhstan?
Yeah, yeah.
Tyshenko
beat Russo in the quarters, and they said he didn't win. And I was actually in Italy for that fight. And then he wins the gold medal match. I mean, the gold medal match, they said, was like the worst decision since Roy Jones and Park. He got rocked. With a minute left, he was almost out on his feet.
They get him winning 3-0.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, like, if you're going to be in the bag, at least tell one of the three guys who's in the bag. Like, if all three of us are in the bag, and, like, we know we're in the bag because all three of us are in the bag, we'll be like, all right, Seth, maybe you'll be the guy who goes for the other guy.
Right.
So we'll make it close. Right. We'll be like, you know what?
Good. And maybe I'll be realistic, and when the guy was almost out on his feet, I'll give him to the other guy, even though he's still winning. You know? Does it have to be a shutout?
Yeah.
Right? Where do these guys keep their money that they get paid off? Is it like in their mattress? Like,
yeah.
You think it's like direct deposit?
No.
Or it's like a
can't have any trail, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing now. If it's not direct deposit,
it's a boost.
Yeah, but Abusta. Abusta is like the envelope. Here's the thing. If you get Abusta, as we say in Sicilian, Abusta, how do you take it back home? Like you're in, unless you're a Brazilian judge and you're already home.
Money belt.
I mean, how do you get through airport security with all that money?
Midnight Run.
Midnight
remember?
Run.
Money belt.
Midnight
had
Run.
A lot of money in there.
Midnight Run. Oh, man. Oh, blasting the past of De Niro. Yeah.
Charles Grodin. Good movie.
You know what? You know what else? On another note, when you look at this now, they want to do the no headgear and so people could get some notoriety, which is nice. But you also have to pick your poison because now if you're going to rob somebody, like they did Conlon, the guy got his ass kicked so bad with no headgear
that he actually had to pull out of the fight.
Yeah, he wasn't able to continue in the tournament. Yeah. So, you know, now you're letting them fight with no headgear. These guys are going to get mocked up. Yep. You know, so be careful who you rob because you shoot yourself in the foot and you look like an idiot when the guy can't continue.
Hey, good point. Good point. That's another good point, too. It's just, it's frustrating because I feel like with this kind of judging, you get overall less bad decisions, but the ones that are bad can be horrible. And the reason they can be this horrible is because clearly, for me, there's probably more room to pay judges off. For me. I mean, for me, it becomes pretty obvious, you know? Dude, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a sporting event.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's not like it's a pro fight where it's like millions of dollars on the line and you're like, oh man, these pricks are switching the money around. Like, at the end of the day, it's a lot of prestige, but how much money are we really talking about?
Russians? Besides for the Russians?
But what do you get? Like, okay, so you brought home 7 gold medalists instead of 3. Does your government get more money?
No, not really.
I mean, what does it mean in the grand scheme of things?
No, but you never know how.
Like, for a pro fighter, for a kid turning pro, he gets him more money on his signing bonus, and he gets more guarantees on his pro contract. But for the actual Russian Federation, or whoever it is.
Well, why don't you think about that for a second before you say it?
Go ahead.
Maybe there's incentive there for the fighters that from the government. You know, maybe somebody like Putin says, oh, you want a gold medal? Your family's taken care of for...
Slow at them. They're the ones
you
paying
You get toilet
them.
Paper. Your
what do you think, the fighter himself
paper.
Is paying them? If Putin's the one, or whoever is the one taking care of the fighters, then he's... How do you figure... What are you figuring? The fighters are paying the judges? He's paying the judges, so what does he care?
But like, I'm saying, maybe that's like some incentive for them. If they win a gold medal, maybe they get taken care of.
I understand, but that's a personal thing for them. I'm talking about the Russian Federation.
Right.
I'll get Putin on the show next week. We'll ask him.
Yeah, we should get Putin on next week.
Yeah, that's on a personal level. You know, like, I'm talking about it on a whole level, like on a team level.
In the grand scheme of things.
I just don't understand. Like, so, okay, so you can put a couple of headlines together. We got the best Russian, best boxers in the world in the Olympics. Okay. And, like, next week when they forget all about it, like, what do you got? You don't really have a lot.
So Triple G and Kovalev.
The only person, the only people that are really affected by it are the actual individual fighters. You know, like, their contracts turning pro or different or whatnot. You know, I don't know.
What sucks is you're taking away a dream from a kid. I mean, just call it fair.
But remember, all these politicians in these countries, like our country, too, they're all, like, little kids at the end of the day. They all want to... You know, beat the other one. Everyone wants to beat the U.S.
Right. If you don't think that Putin is a narcissist and you could see him wanting to pay it off just so to say he won.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. That's
if you don't know the guy by now. Yeah,
I mean, we give him too much credit as being like a mature adult.
No, I give Putin credit because that same attitude makes him fight ISIS better than us, I feel. But at the same time, that same narcissism. Yeah, Pete has a good point. Maybe it has him wanting to win at all costs in the Olympics. I mean, you want to win at all costs against ISIS? I'm all for it, bro. I'm all for it. If you want to win at all costs in the Olympics, though, you know, whatever. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. You know, just at the end of the day, it's a sporting event. You
but
know
it's still rivalries, right? Even like back in the day when you know Hitler and the Nazis were there, and with Jesse Owens winning gold medal.
Yeah, I just saw that movie, by the way, on the airplane, bro.
Yeah?
What's the name of the movie?
Race. The Jesse Owens story. Called Race.
Oh, you like Rush. That's something different.
Rush is about Formula One races. Right. Race is about Jesse Owens.
A runner?
You don't know who Jesse Owens is?
I don't know the guy. No.
Really?
You don't say that on the podcast.
Right, what do you want me to do?
I'm going to edit this out.
We just showed that he's retarded. Like, we don't do that, bro. Like, Jesse, really? You don't know who Jesse Owens is?
No fucking clue.
Most famous Olympic runners of all time. Sprinter.
He probably, I feel like he's the most famous American Olympic Carl athlete,
Lewis, right?
For sure. Maybe the most famous worldwide. Like,
yeah,
unbelievable.
He won the gold for U.S. like right when like
won
Nazi
the gold.
Germany
he won 4
was,
golds in the Berlin Olympics. 4 golds he won. Not one, not two,
so he's
not
like,
three.
He's like
he
Usain
did the,
Bolt.
He did the LeBron James. Not one, not two, not three, not he did 4. He got
so
4.
So he's like Usain Bolt.
He's like Usain Bolt. Did Usain get 4?
Usain's got like
Nine.
No, in one Olympics. Jesse one almost Olympics, didn't get to compete in the next Olympics. They went World War II Olympics. Guy. Come on. You're killing three. Me right now. Three, you're killing
three.
Me.
Three per
Jesse almost didn't get to compete in the next Olympics.
He's done it three Olympics in a row.
Yeah. Well, Jesse just said Jesse couldn't do another Olympics.
Oh, Usain Bolt did it three in a row. Well, three.
All right.
He's got nine.
Boom. Boom.
You're racist.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Please.
I like the Jamaicans. And I like his pose.
Speaking of that, can we say that on this podcast? The Usain Bolt situation? No.
Oh, what happened?
The guy can't even get laid after he wins his ninth gold medal. I mean, what's going on? Did you see this? Did you guys see the gossip? Are you guys sleeping? Are you guys kidding me?
We've been sleeping a lot, actually.
We work for a living.
What is going on over here? You didn't even buy the papers? First of all, the Daily News had him on the front. First of all, I never will give the Daily News another cent in my life between the way their political views and the dumb shit they put on the front pages. They became a gossip magazine.
Yeah.
They had Usain Bolt... the headline on the front page of the Daily News was "Fastest Man Alive," and they said Usain Bolt's night, and they said he was with all these women in one night. First of all, one of the pictures was him on a dance floor with a girl dancing, so you don't even know if he got laid from her. First of all, you're already throwing him in the put your hand in the cookie jar without actually the guy didn't even do anything. You're allowed to dance with a chick in a nightclub. I'm sorry, it doesn't mean you're
married, right?
He's with a girlfriend, but whatever. It didn't mean he was with that chick. They were saying he was with four girls in one night. That doesn't mean he was with that chick. He might have been. You know how many times I've grinded on chicks in the nightclub and I didn't take them home that night? You know what I'm saying?
Like, how many times?
Countless. Like, I lost count. You know? Imagine you slept with every chick you grinded with. Bro, there's been nights I grinded with like tons of chicks in the same night. Like, imagine you slept with every girl you grinded with on the club.
Oh, remember when Reggae first started hitting
me,
the scene?
Me, bro. With a short pole and everything. Me, bro.
Swami goes to them. Yeah. I don't really care what people say.
Shake that thing. Anyway.
Sean Paul.
Anyway, can I? It was Jamaican, by the way.
Thank you.
Anyway, going back to what I was saying. That's why Usain is a grinder. You see that? Yeah. How do you know? He was just a grinder. Wow. He was just grinding because that's what he does.
We just went
that's just what he does on
the
dance floor. He grinds. So anyway, one of the pictures is with the chick grinding. Then the other pictures... You know, it got closer to the bed. Like, there was another chick. He was, like, not on the dance floor, but...
He was showing her his house.
Whatever, dude. At the end of the day, he definitely slept with at least one chick in that night, okay? And he cheated on his girl. But why are you guys not letting the guy get laid on his own? He's just busted his ass. Why you guys gotta get him caught? I don't understand.
That's the world we live in now.
Come on, man. Get out of here.
You just had your picture taken in
everybody's,
the lobby.
Everybody's a fucking rat.
Yeah, and a photographer.
What I'm saying is... What I'm saying is they take a picture and they make an entire story out of it.
Of course.
Like dude, it's
called selling papers.
It's called bullshit.
Yeah.
I went through it with Stalker Chick 3 years ago. There was pictures of me and her, and all of a sudden, everybody made a whole entire relationship out of the thing. Dude, Usain Bolt, the same thing. Just because he was with these chicks in one night doesn't mean he slept with all of them. He probably slept with one or two, maybe.
So you're denying the relationship with your Stalker Chick? That never happened?
Even if he slept with all four of them, why is it on the why is it in the paper? Why is this business?
Because the paper's bullshit. Bullshit, we know that. Yeah,
but how can they? How are you?
The guy
doing
just did so much, and now he can't even. The guy can't even get his dick sucked. Like seriously, can?
But how
is,
can you?
Is that allowed? I mean,
how can you say you're providing?
You just
a service?
Won your ninth gold medal. Can the guy get serviced?
He should be so fast. He should have got in and out before they could take the picture.
Thank you.
Yeah. Boom.
No, but as a journalist, as someone that you went to school for this is what you do for a living. You provide a
These
service.
These aren't real. They're hacks. Come on.
But that's what I'm saying. They have a job.
Oh, their pictures won in the Daily News, though. That's a major paper in New York. I hate to say it.
But they're pieces. But
these
people
guys
take those papers seriously.
It's all over TMZ.
They do.
I don't understand how you guys didn't hear about it. It was literally all over the place.
You know what I did hear about?
What?
They were interviewing him, this Brazilian reporter, and he's like trying to make through like what she's saying, and she's asking him about all the gold medals, and then he goes, excuse me. National anthem. It was America's national anthem, and he stopped the interview and like looked up at the flag. He's a very respectful guy.
Probably all his endorsements are probably from the United States.
Of course.
I would do the same thing.
But he's just a respectful guy. You can tell he's a gentleman. And apparently he's a coxman, too.
Apparently he's a coxman. Let him be a coxman.
Thank you.
God bless him for doing it.
Come on.
What's wrong with that?
He's worth $50 million.
How in this life did it become... politically incorrect to be a coxman.
Well,
coxmen were like looked up to back in the day.
Yeah, where have you been, dude? Now you got to be gay. That's the difference.
But you're a coxman in a different way. If you're gay, you're still a coxman.
Yes, that's the new cool way.
Hey, you can still be. You should still be allowed to be a coxman and not get shit for it if you want to be straight.
I agree.
You know, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I'm here with you, pal.
Hey, so they're,
can we make the same standard for everybody, please? Can we make the same standard? It's all bullshit, really, because these liberals try to make the same standard for everybody, but it's actually not the same standard for everybody. What do we got? What do we got? What's going on over here? What, are you fixing my mic?
Whoa.
Was it pause?
You just grabbed his mic.
Why do we do this every time? Like, I like...
Because you don't know how to talk into the microphone.
Right. I'm talking into it,
right into there, over there.
It's a boom mic.
Whatever.
You're a boom mic.
I'm boom you, bro.
Wow.
Oh! I know you weren't talking to me, right?
Unfortunately, he was talking to me. That was...
All of a sudden, boom changed meanings from a year ago.
That would have just boomed.
That would have just ended up in the Daily News.
Hey, we got a story, bro, right here.
Yeah.
Welcome to the world.
Go ahead.
TMZ. Usain Bolt. So this guy, Owens, go ahead. This is how we started. This guy was really good.
We wound up on from Jesse Owens. Such a feel-good story.
To Usain Bolt.
We were talking about how the Olympics plays out political crap. Countries like that have rivalries, basically. Political rivalries.
They do.
So, yeah.
Remember Rocky and Drago?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. He trained really hard for that fight.
He did.
He
beat a guy on steroids.
He looked like it. It was alleged. Alleged. Oh, speaking of steroids, you want to get back into the steroids? Did we ever talk about Brock?
No.
What are we doing now?
Huh? We didn't.
Has there been an announcement that he's been banned from UFC?
Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
I mean, what, we needed him to fail a test to know he was on steroids?
No, not necessarily, but he never failed a test before.
I understand, but we needed him to fail.
Because they weren't randomly tested either.
And WWE's supposed to have a wellness policy, and they suspend people, too, for here and there.
They're
not as big as they used to be, the wrestlers. A couple are still huge, but not as many. But...
If anybody actually needed to see a failed test from Brock Lesnar to know he was on steroids, you gotta hang yourself, dude.
You're worse than a pack taught at that point.
But the issue more is that they knew he failed and they still let him fight because they needed him on that card.
Wait, Brock fought on the UFC card?
On the 200.
Because
Conor didn't fight on there. And then John Jones fell out.
Hunt?
Yes.
He beat him?
Yes.
Beat him up?
No, Mark.
Oh. Mark.
That's
Mark
his cousin.
Oh.
Yeah, his cousin Mark.
Mark Hunt.
I like Mike.
I heard you did.
Mike Hunt.
Mike?
Mike Hunt.
No. Mike Hunt. He's a welterweight, right?
Oh, no, dude. Hawk's bigger, not Hunt. Hawk's bigger.
Mike Hawk's bigger. Than yours.
All right. And we digress. I never heard that one.
Really? That's a, Mike, you say, Hawk's bigger? I can't even get it out.
That's what she said.
Hawk's bigger.
Oh, boy.
Mike Hawk's bigger. There you go. Say it real fast in unison.
So that's the issue. Right. Not that he failed steroid tests, but that he let him fight. And just because they needed him on the card. Because he's a big draw.
Well, all their stars are like, one's in rehab, one's on steroids, who gets knocked out.
And the company still sold for $4 billion.
That's like Top Rank needing Manny Pacquiao on their cards, too. Because he was a big draw.
Ronda Rousey got her ass kicked. Conor McGregor lost. John Jones in rehab. Brock Lesnar's on steroids. So, how does the UFC look?
John Jones has failed for steroids, too. And his brother did it in football, too.
His brother's on K2. His brother was
Right
before the playoff game against the Colts. He was in the police station, butt naked.
Wait, what's his brother? John Jones.
John Jones' brother is
Mr. Jones.
Todd Jones from the Patriots. Now he's on Arizona.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And the other one played for the Ravens.
Hey, what a
Jacoby Jones?
What good genetics in that family.
Jacoby Jones.
Good athlete.
Arthur Jones.
Arthur, yeah. I think
there's two brothers, and then Chandler Jones too.
Chandler
Jones.
That's not Jacoby
and John, the three brothers.
Yeah,
well, I'm saying look at that.
Athletes.
That's crazy.
Chandler Jones is on Arizona. Chandler Jones is the one that was on New England, wasn't he?
Yeah,
all right, guys. Can we get back to the point? I mean,
all right,
steroids are bad. Okay, let's move on.
Steroids
back to boxing.
Bad. All right. So we're doing that. So that takes us to this UFC fight. These UFC fights. Well, somehow we made it to all the way to this weekend. Somehow.
We made it.
We pressed fast forward.
So we got Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor. First of all, what about Glover Teixeira getting knocked out in like 10 seconds by, Rumble Johnson. Johnson. That was a bad one.
Anthony Johnson?
That was a bad one. But you saw the boxing setup? You see how he threw the left hook? It was basically a left hook, right uppercut. But the left hook was like a slap. It was totally a total decoy.
Yeah.
Total decoy, and it made Glover kind of duck down. because he wanted to get underneath it, and boom.
It made Glover feel like
that's Rover. Called that's your legit boxing throwaway punch. You know, so you use a throwaway punch to get the reaction you want, and so you can land the shot you want to with all the force on it.
Do you think the little fish to get the big fish?
Oh. Yeah.
Do you think as a fighter, you think he planned that and like he saw it in tape watching this guy?
Well, I don't know if something that simple, you see a tape. That's something like that. You just try it. It tends to work on a lot of guys.
That's your arsenal. How you set up your
That's
punches.
A small trap. That's not like a legitimate trap where you say, you know what, this will work on this guy. See a certain thing on this guy. You know, that's like a basic. Very common trap. That's a basic trap you just use. It's, you know, there are your basic traps in boxing where you just use, you throw them out at everybody, and you know, some of them might stick, some of them might not. So that's a pretty basic trap, the throwaway left hook and the straight right hand behind it, or the throwaway left hook and the uppercut behind it, depending on what reaction you're looking to get. He obviously was looking for the uppercut and he got it. He got the reaction on the throwaway left hook, which was actually, you can tell it's actually a throwaway left hook because he doesn't even close his hand. It's a slap. Yeah. You know, so he's looking for he's just winding up from the side, and he's just looking for that reaction, and he gets the reaction, and then he can put all the weight on the uppercut. But anyway,
remember Mickey Ward used to do that with his left hook to the body. Remember, yeah. He used to touch up top.
Yeah, but that was a different kind of throwaway. Yeah, he just
wanted you to pick your hand up.
Yep. Yeah, he's
and
to touch you.
Was Teixeira, is this the fight where he thought he didn't know he's knocked out and started tackling the ref?
He was tackling
the ref.
So, then he almost got submitted by the ref.
Yeah, you imagine the ref would have submitted him.
Oh, that would have been mint.
Who would have called the fight though? Like if you called the fight, the fight's over. At what point do you have to stop the submission? Somebody has to tell you the fight's over.
He got tapped.
Yeah.
Michael Rapaport did a video on that. He talked over the footage. It was so funny. He's like, really? It's like, what are you doing? You dumb motherfucker. The fight's over. Look
you
at this guy.
You dumb fuck you.
You saw it?
No.
That's true. Because you know he's not conscious. That'd
but it was
bad.
It was funny though.
See that a lot. You see guys not even in boxing. You see guys on the ground throwing punches. Remember what was that? Vincent Petway. Yeah. Against
Pendleton.
Was it Frankie Pendleton?
Frankie Pendleton versus
Freddie Pendleton.
Freddie Pendleton versus the guy that Buddy fought.
I feel like Simon Brown.
Simon
was
Brown.
Vincent Petway. Oh, was it Freddie Pendleton? Oh, okay. No, I thought
the best was, you guys remember Marlon Starling got knocked down on HBO.
Yeah.
Who knocked him out? Was it Donald Curry?
Yeah.
And he got up in the interview. He's like, "Hey, got knocked out." He's like, "Who got knocked out? I didn't get knocked out. What are you talking about?" It was great. You're like,
wow. That's stop making shit up.
That's like Nonito Donaire, the first fight he had with.
Darchinian.
Darchinian.
I was not knocked out. I
was not knocked out. He was like, made the ref stop the fight. Dude, you were out cold.
You broke your nose on the canvas. That's how hard you fell face first. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
His nose was sideways. I was not knocked out. It was a good shot, but I'm okay. You're okay now. Yes. 12 minutes later, you're okay.
That was great. Yeah, so it happened. So I felt for Glover Teixeira. He's catching this abuse, you know? Because I'm sure he was ready for a good fight. Sometimes it just happens.
Why
know?
Is his name Glover?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I'm assuming maybe it's a pretty common name in Brazil. Glover.
They like Danny Glover.
Maybe the parents like Danny Glover. It's like the kid who plays college basketball.
And Mark Teixeira.
It's like the kid who plays college basketball. Who plays for the Kansas Jayhawks? His last name's Ellis. His parents named him Perry.
Oh, wow.
Perry Ellis. No, that's even... I got one better for you. Nobody wears Perry Ellis anymore. You know when they wore Perry Ellis? About 20 years ago. So how old is Perry Ellis? About 20 years old. So for me, his parents are actually retarded. Like, because... Like, if my last name's Hilfiger, I'm not naming my kid Tommy. Or if my last name's Kanai, I'm not even naming my kid Carl. You know what I'm saying?
With a K?
Or if my last name's Versace, I'm not naming my kid Gianni. You know what I'm saying? Like... It's not gonna do it. This is not gonna do it. I got better names I can come up with. I just don't need to name my kid after a clothing brand.
Well, there's a singer named Philip Phillips.
Yeah, you see, that's a retarded parent too. Because if your name is last name is Phillips, why would you name
Phillips
your kid
should
Phillips?
Be the last
I
thing
got,
on your
I
mind.
Got one that's gonna hit closer to home. The kid, the guy that beat Gennady Golovkin in the gold medal match in 2004. You know his name? The guy that beat Gennady Golovkin in the Olympic final in 2004. Gaider Bekov.
Oh, wow.
All right? If my last name is Gaderbekov, I'm not naming my kid Gaderbek. I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
I'm going to name him Vasily. I'm going to name him Sergey.
Evgeny.
Alexei. I'm going to name him. There's a lot of nice Russian names I can name
Sasha.
My kid. I don't need to name him the same thing as my last name, except minus the off. I just don't need to do that.
Right.
I'm just going to figure that one out. But
there's a show on HBO called The Night Of. It's on now. Great
what?
Show.
I'm caught up, bro. The show's sick.
Great.
I'm trying to get this idiot to watch it.
But what's one of the characters in the show? His name's Dwayne Reed. They actually
like
pharmacy.
The cops like, oh, yeah, really? Nice try.
No, it's like, no, really. His name
is Dwayne Reed.
Imagine. Imagine if your last name
is
Reed.
How good is that show? Anybody who hasn't watched, awesome, if you have HBO, show. The Night Of is awesome.
Oh, the one with John Turturro.
Turturro.
Yes.
Shout out to Turturro. Those guys are great actors, man.
I think the whole family's in it. I haven't seen Nick in it yet, but the sister's in it. John is the lawyer.
Oh, yeah. The sister was in Sopranos. Yeah, yeah. Wow, the whole family
of
actors.
Sister.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but she's in the Night Of already?
Yeah. Remember when John Turturro went downtown to go look for...
Spoiler alert.
Information?
Yeah.
From the guy, and he was like, give me
the first guy
bucks.
And the second guy.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah, she worked at the...
She's at the rehab, right?
Yep, I got you.
Boom, okay, don't spoil it. That's it.
Her career's really hit a bottom.
Oh. That's any of the Sopranos, I guess, you know?
I'm just kidding. She's fine. Get some work, you know, so hang out with your brother.
When Nick comes in here, he's going to fuck you up for saying that.
Whatever, bring it on.
Nick Turturro's
coming. I'm a Jew. I'll sue.
Yeah, but Nick is Italian like us, bro. We're going to, you know... You'll sue.
Sue everybody.
Touch me and I'll sue.
Touch me, I'll sue. Come on, pug.
Sue me for what?
Come on,
pug. Come on, pug. Yeah.
What do you call some pug? Pug. Come on, pug. You know,
anyway,
pug.
He said, are you tired of reaching in your pocket and only feeling your leg?
he did say that. Balboa.
Take a listen, Miss Balboa. You must hear it. I'm sure you're able to hear it. She's like, what's that, Mr. King? Mr. Washington. The sounds of opportunity knocking. That guy was the best.
He did. I'll see him again, man. I didn't see that guy again. That guy was great. He was a legitimate, like, Don King impersonator, right? All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back.
What are you trying to snap?
And we're going
to
talk about about the Errol Spence fight. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we actually got to talk about the McGregor-Nate Diaz fight, because we actually didn't even talk about it.
We
got
into
the undercard.
But
we got to, like, be more organized. We're just not organized. That's probably why.
Whoa, we're good. We're good.
We just got to
like this. They like it.
I understand. But I don't want to confuse my listeners. Guys, you know what?
You know what it is? You're not in the studio enough.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I know. Bro, I'm going back to Europe. Wait till you... I got the bombshell for you guys. Yeah, wait till you hear this one. You think I'm staying here? Where you guys can have Hillary preside over you? Yeah, right. We'll be back after this break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we're back for the next part of the... Point zero episode, right? Is that what we're calling
point
it?
Zero.
Point zero. Boom. So we got let's go to move on to the main event. We had Teixeira and we had Rumble Johnson. We talked about that knockout. What about the main event? What did you think going in, Pete, honestly?
Going in, I thought Nate was going to beat him even worse this time because he had a full camp.
Yeah.
He was on 11 days notice and he
did. I got to be honest. Me and Pete were like backwards locksmiths on Saturday. We both threw in some dinero on Monopoly dinero. We don't aid in a bet gambling over
it's
here.
It's illegal, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Monopoly dinero.
DraftKings isn't. Woo!
Monopoly dinero.
It's not?
We're back.
I didn't even know that.
Eric Schneiderman.
Why don't we get that back, by the way?
Suck a big loaf.
What?
Why don't we get that back?
Well,
Schneiderman got boomed.
I don't know what happened.
Governor Cuomo signed off on it.
Really?
We're back. FanDuel, DraftKings, we're in. Fantasy sports
Seth, where
daily.
The fuck have you been, bro?
You know, he's from Jersey.
I watched Nick Jr. and shit.
No, but he's from Jersey.
Bolt.
That was
yeah,
never...
you didn't know. Now you didn't know Schneiderman.
You didn't even know the guy Owens.
Paulie, one day you'll see. You'll understand.
But, bro, why don't we get those guys back on to sponsor the show?
That's a good idea.
DraftKings,
why don't we do it?
All right, I'll
all right,
work
so
on
anyway,
that.
So before I was rudely interrupted by Peter Cards, what did you guys think? What did you guys think? We were like backwards locksmiths, me and you. We both thought Nate Diaz was going to win. Seth, did you think Nate Diaz was going to win?
Well, Pete was talking me into it.
Yeah, well, I thought so too, but I got to be honest with you.
McGregor's a great fighter, right? And he had a lot of time to prepare.
A great little man. Yeah. I didn't think it would be enough, but I got to be honest, when I saw the fight, this is how a little man wins fights, and I saw him starting to deaden the pace, because that's how a little man wins fights against bigger guys. He has to deaden the pace and avoid exchanges, and he was doing that. I saw the scene with these front kicks, and they were slowing the pace down, and I was like, wow. This guy's really got it together. He's got a legitimate game plan, and he's actually enforcing it nicely. And even at the end, he killed Nate Diaz's legs so bad that Nate couldn't really and couldn't really put enough weight on the takedown on the leg, you know, to kind of do the takedown.
It was actually
at the end.
A power
and also
kick.
Nate, and also also McGregor at the, a lot of times against the rope, against the fence, he was just not doing anything. It was like just killing time. You know what I mean?
Looking at the clock.
Yeah, looking at the clock, killing time. Which again, clock management. You got to deaden the pace against the big guy. You can't afford a fast pace against the big guy because you know he. God forbid you need to rest. You cannot rest on the big guy. You know what I mean? So very very intelligent fight by Conor McGregor, showing me. You know, obviously you can't be on steroids when you're in UFC because it's USADA testing all year round. But you know, not that I needed to know. Not you can't be on steroids. You can't.
All right, because Brock did get caught, but he still got was allowed to fight.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Well, you get caught at least. At least yeah. We know if you're on it. So you know, but what I'm saying is, watching the fight, I wouldn't have even suspected him, even if there was no testing, because the way he was manipulating the pace of the fight, slowing it down. That's how a little man has to win.
Another tactical.
Manny Pacquiao could take a lot of lessons from Conor McGregor. You know what I mean? If you don't want to look suspicious when you're not getting tested, hey man, you know, just
strategic.
Learn how to fight with the fucking pace load. Maybe we won't know what the fuck you're doing half the time.
From a tactical standpoint, also the front kicks were not just regular front kicks because usually you do that with your lead foot. Mm-hmm. These were lefty on lefty. These were lefty kicks. From McGregor to Nate's front leg,
yeah,
his right leg,
yeah.
So those really add up.
Did you guys think McGregor
having
won the fight?
Said all that? Having
yes,
said all that,
the
fight was very close.
He won the fight.
Having though. Yeah, I thought he won the fight too. Having said all that, the swing round was round two though. So the swing round was round two because McGregor had a good early part of the round and Nate closed the round.
He dropped Nate twice.
Good, yeah, but Nate came closed on. The round very good. So it was that was kind of the swing round where if you had a 3-2 the other way, you probably gave Nate that round. But I mean,
it was one of the best five round fights
you
guys have ever seen.
I thought it was a very well executed game plan. But again, goes to show you how difficult it is to beat a bigger guy clean, regardless of how well he executed the game plan. It was still very tough, still very close, and that's why I give Conor McGregor a ton of credit because he actually did it. He did it the right way. He did it the clean way, and it's very very difficult to do it that way. Not like these boxing animals that are just. Disrespecting weight classes left and right with no drug testing.
Well, like
knows
I
what
told
the fuck
you,
is going on.
Like I told you, also
fucking zoo animals.
When you actually
miserables,
you're so used to dominating everyone, you dominate in this sick fashion where you're crushing people. Then you get crushed by this big guy. To actually have the balls to go back at the same weight class in there with the same guy that fucking crushed your progression and your steamroll ahead.
Momentum.
That's right.
Momentum.
Good word.
Mo, yep. But old Mo made a U-turn in the rematch.
That's right. I give him a lot of credit. Honestly, I give Conor shit a lot, but yeah, I give him a lot of
credit.
It's tough, and they're gonna fight again at 55. I heard.
Dana White said no. Dana White said I'm done with this.
Dana White said, yeah,
they want, don't want to make
like,
any money.
Like Nate says, they don't want me in this shit.
True.
Motherfuckers.
Nate's
not
great.
Surprised, motherfuckers.
He is great. You know what? In New York, we don't get any cholos. You know, are we allowed to say cholos?
Are you guys going to go? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because
you say everything.
I feel like everything is politically correct now. You can even call people cholos. But
it is.
We actually like cholos. We enjoy cholos here on the East Coast because we don't get them over here. So, like, I feel like I don't ever get them. So when I see Nate Diaz, I feel like I'm in Cali for a second. Right. I get to see a couple of cholos. You know, like I think it's the coolest thing. I love his attitude. I love his I don't give a shit attitude. He just goes with it, man. He just goes. His knee's bleeding, and he's amping the crowd up. Let's go. Let's do it. Then he yells about. He starts ranting in his post fight interview about this and that, about how they don't want him in the UFC and they don't want him to be one of the stars.
His brother's the best fighter
in the world. He just wishes they let him in the building, which was just classic. When he said that, I almost started crying and laughing. He goes, "He's the best fighter in the world. I just wish they let him in the building. They wouldn't let Nick Diaz in the building."
So apparently, you're allowed to do steroids. You're allowed to do coke, but if you smoke any weed, you're banned.
Yeah.
Well, weed is very dangerous.
The hypocrisy.
What about UFC's coming to the Garden? You guys going to go?
Yeah, I just saw the thing, too. They said Ronda Rousey's going to make her return on that card.
No, I heard she's not now.
Now she's not. Wait a minute. What's going on over here?
I thought I was the one who didn't know anything.
I saw the bottom line on ESPN like 2 nights ago. Would they take it back the next day?
I think so. I think it was a rumor.
It was a rumor.
I'll tell you right now. Do. You have to wait for me. You guys keep talking. Talk amongst yourselves.
Whatever. You know what? I'm aggravated.
You're aggravated? What's the matter? You want to stop this UFC talk?
No, not at all. I don't have a problem with UFC talk.
No, I'm saying we can move on to the boxing.
What's going on? Well, is she fighting or not? Come on, dude. That's big news, dude. Whether she's fighting or not on that card.
I'm working on
it. That's big news. I mean, people.
It's big news that they're even having it at the card. I mean,
well, yeah, because New York had to let him fight.
Was Eric Schneiderman involved with that too? Was that why they were blocked?
Probably.
This is Attorney General.
What a jerk off.
What a dickhead.
Fucking animal. Anyway, okay, so that wraps up the UFC talk. So we go on to Sunday, Errol Spence against Leonard Bundu. What? Wow.
Fight UFC 205 in New York. Return talks ongoing.
All right. Yes. Return talks ongoing. Boom. She's probably making more movies. We can't blame her. Yeah. Okay. So we're off and Sunday rolls along.
The amphitheater.
And they have the amphitheater fights in Coney Island. Fights in Coney Island, like a legitimate national TV card in Coney Island. I don't think there's been a national TV card in Coney Island since the card I made my pro debut on in 2001 when we fought at Key Span Park. Now it's called MCU Park in Coney Island. So this time they had this amphitheater, which they just built. Errol Spence versus Leonard Bundu. First of all, for anybody talking shit about PBC, the show got 4.6 rating. A 4.6 rating is like 6 million viewers from what I heard.
6.3
I've
million.
Never even heard of such a high rating in boxing in my entire life. I mean,
it's been 18 years, they said.
Has it?
Mm-hmm.
18? Who the hell got that 18 years ago? I mean, I was already boxing 18 years ago. I don't remember ever seeing the rating this high. Who got that rating?
I don't know. You didn't see the thing that Lem Satterfield sent us?
18 years? No, I didn't get to read it. So I'm busy during the day. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Daily News, TMZ.
I'll read it. No, Daily News, the cover I saw. I didn't read the article. I told you, I'll never buy that paper if they pay me to buy it.
You know what? I usually buy it. I'm not buying it anymore. Boycott those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
What, you just realized it now that you got a boycott?
No, but I always bought it. Ever since I was young, I always bought Daily News.
Bro, how do you think I feel, bro? I won the Daily News Golden Gloves.
You want to give it
in
back?
In the amateurs. The Daily Golden Gloves was sponsored by the Daily News. I think they might still be.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not giving them back. No, they can.
Right.
But you know, how do you think I feel?
Sure.
Record PBC ratings.
Record PBC rating. Who was the last show that got that rating? 18 years ago? There was no way that there was a show 18 years ago that got that rating. I've never even heard of a boxing event that got that kind of rating.
I'm going to try to find it out.
Unless it was like Rocky vs. Drago. Maybe it was the movie or something.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been.
Anyway.
Okay.
So.
Talk about the fight.
Yeah, we talk about the fight. Going in, I felt like Bundu was a very tough character to deal with. You know, very awkward. Switches stances. Can be very dirty at times. Guy that uses his head has been known to have some clashes of heads in his fights and some technical draws on his record. Some accidental clashes of heads and cuts have been opened up in his fights. So I was thinking that maybe Errol would be tested in different ways. I always felt Errol was the more talented guy, but a guy who's this rugged as Bundu can sometimes throw you off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Can sometimes throw you off a little bit. And so I was curious to see how psychologically Bundu would... Errol would be affected by the style of Bundu, because sometimes if you psychologically become frustrated in a fight like that against a guy who is this kind of has that this kind of herky jerky style, switches stances and fouls, though that frustration turns into making mistakes, and the making mistakes can sometimes turn into getting hit with shots you shouldn't get hit with, and getting hit with shots you shouldn't get hit with can turn into losing a fight, even getting knocked out. So I was curious to see where the frustration Bundu can build in the opponent. And his opponent was going to bring Errol to. And honestly, I have to say Errol handled it like a real mature surgeon, dude. He was like a surgeon, a calculated performance by Errol Spence. I mean, never abandon the jab, first of all. Keep it simple with the jab, a southpaw jab. Very accurate with it. And started setting up. And, you know, early on, he wasn't landing very clean, but he was, you know, trying to control the pace with the jab. He was getting hit a little bit. You know, Leonard's a live guy. Leonard's not an easy guy to deal with for anybody in the world, you know. I actually feel for Leonard because his only two opportunities in America have come against Thurman and Spence. And so, you know, you're getting the best of the best at welterweight, you know. I think Leonard could probably give a lot of guys problems if he wasn't fighting the top two welters in America, you know. But at the end of the day... Errol got a knockout. Errol scored the knockout that Thurman couldn't score. He scored it in devastating fashion after setting himself up round after round, just keeping patient, starting to hone in his radar on the target, and finally just, you know, started hurting Leonard, and he got him out of there. It was an impressive performance, an impressive knockout, and the most people, as far as I remember, the most people I've ever heard of getting... watching a boxing event in this country, watched it. So Errol Spence legitimate stardom on Sunday, for sure.
A big splash in the pool.
A big splash in the pool.
Leonard was taking some good shots early on, and I was like, I think it was the fourth round, and I was like, I want to see what he's like in the next two rounds. And it happened to be that the sixth round is when he got...
Well, Errol
when
also...
When Lee Harvey Oswald came into the building.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, you got to also understand, Errol landed some pretty good body shots. I mean, Errol...
They both did.
Sometimes, yeah, because Leonard's a good body puncher too, but... Errol's body attack is very underrated because he's such a hard puncher to the head. People don't realize he actually demolishes you to the body, breaks you down. And the herky-jerkiness, if that's even a word, herky-jerkiness, of Leonard was kind of decreasing as those last couple of rounds came because the fatigue, you know, being a herky-jerky fighter, you kind of need energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need the energy to give that head movement, to give those changes of stance and whatnot. And it started to slow down, and I felt like that was also the body punches of Errol starting to do their damage. And as the herky-jerkiness slowed down, Errol was even more accurate with his jab, and from there, he started to become more accurate with the straight left hand, which I noticed. And you noticed Leonard's right eye started swelling. And then from there, obviously, the end came not long after. So, again, a very calculated performance of Errol Spence.
The ref called it a slip.
He built it up. Yeah, the first one was a slip, but it wasn't a slip because he was clearly
hurt. That was
an
uppercut that ended the fight.
Yeah, but... Leonard never stopped trying, even after he got up from that
slip/knockdown.
He started throwing bombs. He's like, you know, he wasn't ready to call it a night. Leonard Bundo, a lot of character, man. You know,
absolutely.
Some of this stuff it gets lost in the translation because you start seeing the knockout and you say, oh man, oh what a highlight reel, whatever. But you know, it takes a lot of character to try to grind it out against a guy like Errol Spence. And still be suffering, taking those kind of shots, and still be trying to win nonetheless. And literally, Leonard Bundo tried to win to the moment he got knocked out. He was trying to win the fight.
And that's
character.
He's 41 years old.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's character. You
yeah.
know?
So he's fighting this kid who's like how old? So yep. 15 years younger than him?
26 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
26 is just your prime age, man. Yeah. I won my first world title at 26. It's just your prime age, man. You just feel your best, you know? Errol's got a bright future. You know, Kell Brook, I saw on Boxing Scene, said that he will be back at welterweight to fight Errol Spence.
Wow.
I would love to see it. You know, and I never say never because I didn't think Jamal Charlo would stay at junior middleweight to fight Julian Williams. And apparently they're fighting pretty soon, you know? And I thought that was a very awesome sleeper fight, you know, between two really good junior middleweights.
So we're going to finish the year
strong.
Because
Julian Williams is the number one contender for Jamal Charlo. And I'm hearing that fight's going to get made. So if Brooks says he's not going to leave till he fights Spence, I mean, I think that's awesome. Here's the thing, though. I mean, you got to see what he's got left after Golovkin. Because, I mean, if he wins, obviously, I don't think he vacates the middleweight title. And if he loses, you got to see how he loses. Because, you know, if you get devastated like that, the last thing you want to do is go in against another devastating guy right after. That's called ruining your fighter if you do that back to back.
Well, let's talk about that. If you know, I know Brooks is a big underdog, but if he does win, what does he fight? Canelo? Instead of Triple G?
He's damn skimpy. He fights Canelo. Canelo even said it. I'll fight him if he beats Golovkin, which is more putting your foot. Both these guys love putting their feet in their mouth. So you wouldn't fight Golovkin, but you'd fight the guy that beats him.
Right, because he's smaller.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty wild. And Golovkin,
nice.
Same thing. He won't fight Andre Ward, but he'll go up to super middleweight. You know?
Do you think it's a fighter?
These guys all keep on their feet in their mouth, and in the end of the day, neither of them will fight each other, which is what everybody wants to see. I mean, granted, Canelo's got to be the one to make that decision.
Unfortunately, what it takes is it's going to take somebody to die or get really hurt before people start taking the fucking these random catch weight fights and you know.
I think what it's got to take is around their random drug testing like the UFC does, and you'll just stop seeing guys jumping weights like they're crossing the street, first of all. I just think it's gotten way blown out of proportion in the last 10, 15 years. It was always something that was done by really special fighters, even to go up one or two weight classes was done by really special fighters. Now guys are jumping two weight classes in one night, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or staying, going up one weight class, staying for like a fight, and then going up another weight class right after, you know what I'm saying? It's just things that were very, very, very rare back in the day. Very, very, very rare. And now they're not.
Well, we just talk about Hall of Famers that would do that. You know, like the Durans and Leonards and Hearns and guys that. But now it's like
a select few. Now it's like a lot more common, a little too common.
But even that, I mean, it's just, even Leonard, I mean, he didn't go up to middleweight from welter right away. And that's not to say, because Kell Brook honestly is a big welter. I honestly believe that if the welterweight division, if the weigh-ins weren't the day of the fight. I actually said this to a friend of mine recently.
You said this on here, too.
What?
Go ahead.
If the weigh-ins
were the same day, Kel would be a 154-pounder. He wouldn't be a 147.
No, I'll give you one better. 60 years ago, when the greats, when those all-time greats were fighting, junior middleweight didn't exist.
Right.
So Kel would actually be a 160-pounder if the weigh-ins were the day of the fight, because I don't think he'd be able to make welterweight the day of the fight and still have energy to fight. And 154 didn't exist in the 50s and 40s. So back in the heyday where everybody and their mothers watched boxing, Kel might be a middleweight, which, if you look at the physical status, the physical features of those middleweights back in the day, Ray Robinson, Randy Turpin,
Gene Fulmer.
Gene Fulmer, yeah. You know,
Basilio.
Yeah, you know, Brooks' body type, body physique, probably matches up very well against them, you know, with them. You know, I'd see Brook looks like a 50s middleweight. I'd say Brook does look like a 50s middleweight. I don't know if Golovkin will be able to make 160 and still fight the same night. I don't know. He might be. I mean, I don't think he has as much trouble making 160 as Brooke has making 147. So in the end, in the 40s and 50s, you might have still had this fight. Who knows? You know, maybe we're all making a big to-do out of nothing. You know? I mean, we'll find out September 10th. I want to announce that I'm coming to an agreement where I'm probably going to end up working that show, you know. So that's
awesome.
That's awesome.
Are you in the UK?
The O2 Arena.
Yeah, in the UK, the O2 Arena, my old stomping grounds.
London.
Well, I love the freaking O2 Arena. I just love being in fights in England in general. You know what? The fight could suck and they'd still, like, make it awesome. Like, that's how great those fans are. The fight could, like, you give me a shitty fight, you give it to me in the O2 Arena, I feel like I'm not watching a shitty fight anymore. That's how great those fans are. Like,
they're drunk.
I don't know what they are, bro, but they're loud. They're singing. They're chanting. And I'm just looking at the fighters in the ring like, must be awesome to be you guys right now. Like, seriously, must be really feel awesome to be you guys right now. This arena is just going crazy while you're fighting. I love it. You know, like, it's just, I don't know. So I'm excited because not only is it an awesome fight, you know, it's also a fight where it's at the O2 Arena where the crowd is just going to be booming. And that was where my announcement was going to come next, being that I'm going to work the O2 Arena. I'm going to go back to Italy after the show.
What?
Yeah.
What? What is it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
For how long?
Yeah, Showtime's not giving me any dates in September, bro. What are you going to do? You're giving me break? I came back. I thought I was going to work. Otherwise, I would have stayed in it. You think I really wanted to come back? Do you really think I wanted to leave Sicily?
You're hurting our feelings.
I was on the beach every day, hanging out, chilling. Like, do you really think I wanted to come back to this? You really think so?
What's wrong with this?
Really,
this is home.
Hillary Clinton on my television set every day. The news come. We'll save that for the rain theme for the rain show, please. Right. Save that for the rain show.
What other fights we got coming up that you're excited about?
Fights coming up, excited. Well, first of all, we just talked about one, Golovkin and Brooke. I'm psyched for that whole card in general. What else we got going on?
Can we hear you in the U.S. doing that fight? We can't, right?
You might have to like take the Sky feed. The Sky feed and
steal it online.
Danny Jacobs fighting Sergio Moro.
Yeah, the night before. Danny Jacobs. And you know what? There's a nice fight on that card. I got
Kermit Cintron.
Forget about Kermit Cintron, okay. Joe. I got one better for you. Robert Easter is fighting Richard Comeny, who's also undefeated. Eric Comeny. I don't know. Sorry. Excuse me if I'm saying the guy's first name wrong, but Comeny. And he's an undefeated guy, an African guy, undefeated, who's. From the way he's talking, he's really hungry. Like, you know, he's overcome a lot, he's saying, and, you know, he's ready for this world title. I mean, he's got a tough fight in front of him. Robert Easter is a beast, dude.
Bunny.
Yeah, Robert Easter can fight his ass off. So, you know, they call him Bunny. So, I'm excited about that fight. I don't know too much about Comrie, but I'll say what, he's undefeated, so he's going to come with that legit hunger to stay undefeated and win the world title. And, of course, Easter, we've seen him fight
Easter
many times.
Came off a really impressive win.
Yeah. He's just talented. You know what we were talking about? Mikey Garcia being the best lightweight in the world. I gotta tell you, man. Robert Easter and Mikey Garcia in like a year, if they both stay at lightweight, that might be dynamite. I want to see Robert be able to go a tough 10 rounds, like, you know, get pushed a little bit in a tough 10 or 12 rounds, because right now Robert, we haven't seen his character, how to dig down his character. But as far as talent is concerned, Easter Bunny is head and shoulders above most of the guys in boxing in general as far as talent is concerned. I want to see if his character gets pushed a little bit, if he can hang in there and really handle himself. And if he can, I think he's ready for a Mikey Garcia fight.
That's a big fight.
And that's a terrific fight. I mean, that's one of the better fights you can make in boxing. Even style-wise, a good clash of styles.
Floyd versus AB again.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Wait, he's with Floyd?
Mikey Garcia is.
Minka, that's right.
What's up for Mikey's next fight? Do you guys know?
No, I
heard he was going to fight Flanagan, but isn't Flanagan fighting somebody else now? For the WBO lightweight title?
He's in the gym.
Who's the other champ?
Flanagan was the one he was going to fight. He was mentioning he was fighting
the
WBO
one?
Lightweight champion.
Is that Tinikan? What's his name?
Latichinen, yeah, WBC champion. That's what they're making?
I think he might fight him, yeah.
Wow, that's not a bad fight. I mean, Latichinen was...
He said may get a shot at his title.
He sees the teaching. He's the guy who worked his fight in Verona. He beat the last minute. Yeah, he beat the last minute replacement. But he's pretty. He's a pretty rough dude. He's got a win over Ivan Redcatch and a couple other decent fighters. Hey, he's not a bad fighter. That's a nice little fight. Mike Garcia and Zlatic is a nice little fight. Can we get some of these fights on Showtime? Because Showtime's really
right. So Tevin Farmer is lightweight.
Tevin Farmer is a lightweight, but he wants to be a super featherweight. He's going back. He only came up for the opportunity. So.
I was that card, say, you could throw him in the mix with those guys.
That card on 7:30 actually had a couple of guys who didn't belong at the weight they fought at. They belong at 130. Tevin Farmer is one of them. Elio Rojas is the other guy. You put Elio Rojas at 130, the dude is doing some damage. You put Tevin Farmer at 130, he's doing even more damage than he did at lightweight. And of course, there's other 130 pounds already in the mix there. There's Orlando Salido, there's Takashi Miura, there's Francisco Vargas, you know. And you know what? For all you guys that don't understand, this is Rod Salka, too. If you go look at his record since the Lenny Garcia loss, he's actually gotten a couple of good wins. He beat a former Cuban amateur world champion.
He's back at 130?
Yeah. Well, that's what he wants to fight at if he gets fights. It's just Salka. There's a stigmatism about Salka's name because people don't know shit about boxing. They don't only look at Salka and they look at him like the quintessential opponent. Rod Salka at 30, at 130, he's actually a good fighter, bro. I saw him get robbed myself against Rigoberto Alvarez. The guy won 8 rounds out of 10 and got robbed in Texas, okay, against Rigoberto Alvarez. After the Garcia fight, he comes back and beats Monte Meza Clay, who's not a bad fighter. It was a local rivalry because they're both from Pittsburgh. He beats him, and that guy's about 31-4. The guy was a decent amateur when I in my generation beats him, and then he beats this former Cuban amateur world champion as well. The guy he just lost to Omar Douglas on Fox Sports 1. What's his name? Anyway, whatever. Just check Salka's record. Anyway, he's a good fighter at that weight, man. So if he's given an opportunity at the correct weight, you know, you throw him in the mix. He's got an awkward style, good boxer, and you can mix and match a lot of those names. 130 is a pretty good weight class, man. Isn't Abner coming up to 130 as well, or no? Abner Modest? No. Nicholas Walters at 130, right? He went up, right?
Well, I guess we forgot something.
Who?
What about Big Baby heavyweight?
Was
it last past weekend?
That was the last weekend. No,
yeah. We're going to get into that, too. All right. So we're going to go off the 130 pounders.
We're
going
to get Big Baby on the show, too. He's a good friend of ours.
We can't fit him in here.
He'll fit.
I tell you what, he keeps gaining weight before fights. We got to get him before he keeps gaining all that weight.
You know? Yeah. Butter his hips to get him through the door.
Yeah.
We'll get him.
He had a good win, right? That was a nice win over our friend Cassie.
Absolutely. I think Cassie just was finding his way out.
The fact that you forced Cassie to fight his way out even is impressive. Absolutely. Because Cassie is the kind of guy who could have got a decision over Chris Areola, and he's had a couple of tough breaks in boxing. I actually feel bad for Cassie because he probably...
His latest break was supposedly in his right hand.
His right, yeah. But
if I don't see him
and
in
what
cast,
about
the
Baha and Kareem Mayfield? What'd you think of that fight?
That was the ugliest fight I've ever seen.
Well, probably. Kareem Mayfield, anything involving Kareem Mayfield usually is.
The other guy, too. I mean, he's no... He's not graceful.
You T-boated.
He's not graceful in anything that he does.
Yeah, I gotta see it. No?
He's a strong, tough kid. I mean, for 10 fights to be in a battle like that with a Kareem Mayfield, he impressed me. You know, the guy hits hard, but Kareem Mayfield's got a great chin.
Yeah.
First round, Baha hit him with an uppercut, and it caused the first, like, all right, let me smother now.
Yeah.
But he woke up from that, was like, okay, so this guy can't hit me anymore.
Yeah.
And they went at it. Kareem Mayfield's a dog, man.
Yeah.
He's not talented, but he's a dog.
Yeah, he knows how to do that trench warfare type of stuff, you know? I had him as a sparring partner for one camp. Yeah. I had to send him home because all he did was wrestle.
Both of those guys.
And he got mad that I sent him home.
Right.
Yeah, I had Baha as a sparring partner too, but Baha's a little bit more.
Tell him if you want to go to WWE, you'll bring him back.
No, it was just like, I felt like sparring partner is supposed to get you more sharp. I felt like I was getting less sharp because the guy was all up on my chest and he wasn't really fighting as much as he was just smothering, you know? And I felt like it was a lot of wrestling and it was just like, it was making me sore for my other sparring partners who I was trying to get you to get sharp. So I sent them packing, you know? It was just a matter of styles, you know? Smart partners are there to get you sharp, not to...
I didn't know that he owns a couple of apps.
Who?
Kareem Mayfield.
Kareem?
He created it. Him and his wife designed a couple of apps.
Yeah, he's a little hustler, man.
He's from the Bay Area. He's just like... He played running back in high school. Mm-hmm. Took up boxing really late. But this is like... he loves to compete. Like, financially, you know, he's okay. He does well, him and his wife.
Who was that guy you met in the Bay Area, you said, with the mouth thing? What was that?
No, that's for the
that's for
the
later?
Brand. Yeah, we're the Sugar Boy's biggest fan.
Oh yeah,
Sugar Boy's
my
biggest
boy
fan.
George.
Yeah. Well, that Sugar Boy's fight. So what happened over there? What was it? So Sugar Boy fights. By the way, he fought the week after me, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got a big knockout, devastating knockout. Yeah. It's on YouTube if anybody wants to see it.
Union
KO. And you were in Oaktown. You were in Oakland. It was a Ward versus a Brand call.
Yes.
So Alexander obviously Brand. Oaktown, for anybody who doesn't know, has a lot of street guys there, right?
Absolutely. So, good guys, too.
So this you go over there, and Pete's, guy, it's becoming Pete's home away from home, right? Because Sugar tends to fight on war undercards. So he goes there a lot. And
I met a gentleman by the name of George.
Using the term gentleman loosely. Right?
Yeah, a good guy. He had these diamond fronts.
Diamond fronts? And what was his hair? What did his hair look like?
He had braids tied up in a ponytail in the back.
So his braids, his cornrows that turned into braids, and they were so long. Okay.
And he said, when he saw Junior and I got out of the ring, he said,
Can I take a picture of you the way you look right now? I feel like you should post this on. While you're showing this,
that boy's good.
While you're giving this imitation, I feel like.
He said, man, you know, that boy not to be messed with.
What, you talking about Junior?
Yeah. Because you know what happened? He didn't even know Kid Chocolate was there.
Okay.
Kid Chocolate happened to be in the area.
Okay.
We wanted to see Junior. So on our way to the ring, we saw Kid Chocolate. So Kid Chocolate tells this guy, George, watch my little bro right here. He's from Brooklyn. So this dude's like, oh, I'm going to check him. And then he gets the big knockout. And this guy, George, it was his first time ever at a live fight. So that's a nice.
Yeah. He told you that later.
Yep.
Okay.
That was a nice experience for him to come in there and be like, I didn't know what to expect. And then all of a sudden, this young cat hit him, bang! Knocked him out cold. And then, he said, man, that boy is nice. He not to be messed with.
And then what'd you tell him?
And he bought me a drink. And, you know, they were just, he said how many times he's so happy that he came. He wants to see Andre Ward, but he was happy he got a
and
treat
didn't
like
his
that.
His boy want you to wear a shirt or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, they wanted to work out like a sponsorship deal.
So Kitchoka told you to deal with him?
Right. Kitchoka was like, go ahead. Yeah, go work that out for me. See how real they are. Well, the one partner didn't see Junior. So George had explained to his partner. I guess.
And what did he explain to him?
He said, man, that's a boy not to be messed with. He's serious about his business, man. He got in there and he handled it.
So what happened? What was his name?
He said, man, how old is that boy?
What was his name?
George.
George. What did George say when about the shirts then?
He said, man, I ain't even messing with him. So the guy said, what do you mean? He goes, he not to be messed with. He's serious.
Yeah, but then
he a stone cold killer.
So then what happened? Did he want Peter Quillen to wear the shirt, though?
Right. But he didn't even know
who... First, he wanted Junior to wear the shirt, and you said...
He didn't even know who Peter Quillen was. Right. And he said, he must be a bad motherfucker if you know who he is. And they don't realize, you know, boxing's a small circle, and, you know, you guys watch Junior grow up, so obviously you know. But, you know, a regular person that comes to the fights the first time...
So he tried to get Sugar or Petey to wear the shirt.
He wanted everybody. You, everybody.
And then, what did you say when you said that couldn't happen?
I didn't say it couldn't happen.
Oh, what'd you tell him?
I said, Jerry Maguire.
You said Jerry Maguire. You
show me the money!
And what happened?
No, they were just like, oh, it's going to take a lot. I said, oh, we work something out.
He said, man, that guy
about his business. He said, forget about them shirts, man. What's up with that kid?
Oh, you wanted to manage him?
No, he was just like in awe, you know. Oh. You don't really see knockouts like that. I mean, we do because we're at fights all the time. You see the young prospect again, you know, against the guy that doesn't belong or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're not an avid fight fan, you don't even know that these things happen.
Yeah.
You know, so it was fun. Got to meet my boy George. He was taking a nice shot of tequila and said, that knockout hurt my soul.
Shout out to George from Oaktown.
Yeah.
We made him famous on the podcast.
Yeah.
Peter Kahn's.
Nice.
He's one of those guys that's in like the first ever profession in the world.
What's that?
Prostitution.
Prostitution.
Yeah.
The original.
Absolutely.
We're going to get into a little bit of that in the rental ranting, too.
What? Prostitution and hairstyle. And hair
he's,
and
he's in the
barber.
Home game. What did he tell you?
Right. I'm in the home business.
The home. What?
Yeah. I keep these tricks in the street. Right.
Wow.
I said, well, your business has been around forever. It's the first job ever. He said, that's right.
All right, this is one of those situations where we needed a camera in the studio. People can see Peter Cards imitating George from Oaktown.
Oh,
with his front.
You can't take videos with that phone.
I'm running out of memory on this phone. That's it.
Memory.
Memories. You're not up in the cloud yet or nothing, Paulie? Yeah. With that, get up in the cloud with that.
Yeah, up in the cloud so they could hack your cloud and then put that shit all over the internet. Yeah, I know.
Why? Like Paris Hilton. You got some bad shit in there? What do you got in there?
Yeah, pornos in here, kid.
Speaking of which,
that's what I do. We're gonna get into some of those on the Rampart. We got a good Rampart cast this week. We also got the special forces guy that I met in Italy. I want to get into that.
We should definitely get into that.
Some good stuff. All right, are we done with the boxing? I mean.
Yeah, I guess this is the last boxing podcast, right? You're moving out of the country?
Maybe we can call it in. I mean, next week I'll probably be around for that one, and then...
Hey, you know, if you get an iPhone, you can use a FaceTime app and call
maybe
in.
Maybe I can Skype you guys or something.
You could do that.
Or Skype.
We can do that.
How would George say Skype?
I'll be Skyping these hoes all day. Ho, you on the block? I'll see you on Skype.
We got to get George in the studio.
George is
we got to get him in from Oakland. Anyway. All right. That's it. We're going to wrap it up for this week's boxing podcast.
Yeah.
We'll be back with 0.5 since we spoiled your surprise.